Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. Now we're continuing here in our study in the Acts of the Apostles. We've got to chapter 11, where Peter is relaying to the brethren at Jerusalem what happened. And when they heard these things, it says here, they held their peace, chapter 11 and verse 18. And they glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance of sin. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen," okay, now these are scattered abroad because Stephen, of course, was martyred, and which scattered that persecution, they traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. So they would go into the synagogue and they would look for their brethren, fellow Israelites, and preach to them, of course, that the Messiah had come, because this was what they were looking for in their faith, was the coming of the Messiah. Continuing here, "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. And then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." And of course they were called, the word here is Christianos, and that would have been Greek. Of course, Greek was pretty much the international language of the Roman Empire, and since the Roman Empire was the head of pretty much all of the nations of the earth at that time, such as was known, that was the international language. So they were called Christians or Christianos that time, or followers of Christ, of course, using the Greek word for equivalent, I should say. Greek equivalent for Messiah would be Christian or Christ. So they were called Christians first at Antioch. And, well, I guess they really needed something to distinguish them from the Jews. So this was the first time a distinction was made of them from the Jews. And, of course, this distinction following the end of the 70th week of Daniel to perhaps draw a clear line between those unbelievers who were now Israel nationals, who did not accept the Messiah, and those who did accept the Messiah. "And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood one up named Agabus, who signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar." And a dearth, of course, is a drought. And then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. And perhaps part of the reason for this dearth or drought was to further uproot those who needed to leave Judea and Jerusalem, to get them out of there, to make it easier for them to leave because of the prophecies of the Messiah, the coming destruction, the sword, and the carrying away captive of everyone who was left in the land by the Roman Empire. And of course, which all culminated in 70 AD, which also they did. They sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul, talking about relief. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now about the time that Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And here you see a man, Herod, trying to please the Jews. He's trying to appease national Israel because of the trouble that they are for the Roman Empire, and to make peace with them. And when he kills one of the disciples, he sees that it pleases them. He proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him into prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. Four quaternions. And what is a quaternion? Four Roman soldiers, a squad. Okay, so it's a squad of soldiers, four soldiers, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Okay, now here's we have the word Easter here in the book of Acts. And what does this mean? A lot of people go, well, yes, we should keep Easter, because here it is in the book of Acts. And I think this is the one and only occurrence of the word Easter? And then you have those who would translate this as the Passover. And because it is the same word here, being translated as Passover, so some people would say that the translators made a mistake, that they should have translated this Passover. But here, we have a clue here, and I believe this is what the translator saw. In the previous verse, it says, then were the days of unleavened bread. Well, the days of unleavened bread follows Passover. So I think the translators got it right when they called it Easter, because Easter was Ashtaroth, a pagan holiday. And you know what? The Jews that Herod was trying to please, they didn't keep Ashtaroth. They didn't keep Easter. Passover was already passed. It was the days of unleavened bread. But you know what? The Romans kept Easter. And perhaps he didn't want his holiday, messed with. So he's going to keep him until after the holiday. And yes, actually the Ashtaroth holiday. So I believe that the translators got this correct here. I've heard a lot of people try to correct this to Passover, but no, they need to read the previous verse where it says, then were the days of unleavened bread. Because Passover is first, then you have the days of unleavened bread. So if Peter was taken during the days of unleavened bread, then Passover was already passed, but Easter is another thing. And Easter and Passover, though they occur according to the moon about the same time of year, it is not on the same day. It is not the same holiday that the church has favored Easter over Passover, the Passover celebration, because the Passover is not a sacrifice for sin, but it is to commemorate the Passover when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. So even today, we, as believers in Messiah, being national Israelis, or of one of the tribes of Israel, or being of any other nation, of whatever nation we are, which we may or may not know what blood we have in us, there would be absolutely nothing wrong with keeping Passover for God's chosen people. And that means us. Of any nation, there would be absolutely nothing wrong with us keeping the Passover, because we're not sacrificing for sin. We're not, the Passover is not what Yahshua put an end to, the sacrifice for sin, but it is a celebration that we do, that is done in remembrance of the Passover when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. so anyone can still celebrate the Passover without it being an abomination and the days of unleavened bread. So I just wanted to clarify that and tell you how I believe, and many who have really looked into this issue agree here that the word Easter is correct in this one instance, and that's why it is here in this one instance. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. So the day was coming. Easter was done with, because he was holding him till after his pagan holy day, Easter, Ashtaroth, and probably on a pagan Sunday. Of course, the Hebrews did not celebrate, and the early church did not celebrate Sunday. They would not worship the sun. They were still keeping the month, and the first day of the week, and the second day of the week, and the Passovers according to the month, according to the Creator's calendar. So we have a witness here in the Scripture. So he would have brought him forth the same night. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So you got two soldiers in the cell with Peter, chained to him, and you got two soldiers, the quaternion, the unit of four soldiers, and they got two of them without to make sure nobody's breaking in and to make sure nobody breaks out, keeping watch. And they probably took turns, you know, watching and sleeping, going through the night. They had their watch. And so you had two soldiers, two up and two down, and two to keep each other awake. However it worked, that's what the quaternion did. And so here's what happens. He's sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, one to each soldier, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise, up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto them, "Tim, cast thy garment about thee and follow me." So Peter gets dressed quickly and he follows the angel. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought that he saw a vision. Wow, is this a dream or what? Is this really happening? Am I dreaming this? Because this is like, you know, an impossible thing. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, and which opened unto them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. So they go through one street, they get away from the prison, and the angel departs. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent an angel," because he thinks he's dreaming, man. You know, you ever have one of those dreams where you're dreaming the dream, and in the dream you think, this is a dream, because this can't be real. That's happened to me in my dreams. While I'm dreaming in my dream that, hey, this is a dream, because this kind of stuff doesn't really happen. So that's kind of what's going on with Peter here. He thinks he's dreaming a dream, and is cognizant of the dream somehow, but he finally gets out to the street, and he's kind of in a protective bubble of a sort as he escapes the prison. Those guys are sleeping, and the guys that are supposed to be awake at the door of the prison, you know, he doesn't become really conscious of the reality of it till he's out in the street. And when he had considered the thing, okay, I think I skipped one. He came to himself, chapter 12, verse 11, and said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So they got a little prayer meeting going on there. Oh, Father, please deliver Peter. Peter comes to the door, and Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. And she got a little excited there, forgot to open the door, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." And they're going, "Well, Peter's dead and it's his spirit," right? That's what I would guess that means. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go, show these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there's some soldiers that are going to be in trouble here. There was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? Yeah, could you imagine that? The two guys inside sound asleep, the chains still buckled, not unlocked. How did Peter get out of those chains? They wouldn't have a clue, would they? The guys at the door, they didn't see nothing. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king chamberlain their friend, the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the kings. And upon a set day Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." Yes. What do they call that these days? And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. I wonder where those worms came from. Probably some pig he ate. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So we have the end of Herod there, who receives worship of men and dies. Chapter 13 and verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which means son of Yahuwah, or son of Jesus, Yeshua, Bar-Jesus. It's quite a name to take on. False prophet, a Jew, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, and what does that mean? Elymas, says a foreign origin, a wizard. Okay, his name by interpretation, the sorcerer. That's what his name means, I would say. Somewhat with the prefix L, They thought of him as some kind of god or god-man. And that's what his name really means, Bar-Jesus, which means the son of God. He withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So you got the false prophet. He's afraid. He's trying to protect his domain and his control over the people. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of Yahuwah, of the Lord. And when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Just what you need, an invitation. And we'll pick up there when we return from this short break. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back.